All right. Merry Christmas. You guys ever talk to children about money? Yes. In premarital counseling, when talking about future children, I usually try to convince the couple who are getting married that it is a good idea to give your kids an allowance. Now, if you don't get an allowance and your kid here and you're here this night, so Merry Christmas. That's my present to you, telling your parents to give you. Now, I don't say that simply because I never got an allowance. I say it because it's good for kids to know that money is a finite resource, that money has an end. If kids have an allowance and they have to use that allowance to buy things, they will soon realize they can't afford everything in the world. They got to make some hard choices. I also think if your kid gets, say, $10, you should make them save a dollar, give a dollar away, and with the remaining $8, they can save more, give more, but do what they want with that $8. Anyway, when kids go to Santa or to you and ask for presents, they have a mentality of not really knowing how much things truly cost. Like when I was growing up, I wanted Levi's branded jeans, and instead what I got was Sears branded Toughskins. My mom could buy 3 pairs of Toughskins for 1 pair of Levi's. They felt like cardboard, but she said they lasted 3 times as long as the Levi's as well. Now, I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, I thought we came to a Christmas Eve service, not a Dave Ramsey class on money management. Well, you did, because tonight we're going to talk about the 12 days of Christmas, and it is an expensive song. I mean, if you add it all up. So we're going to see how well you know this and the cost. I'm going to start with the first one, work to the 12th. So, on the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a... All in time, I appreciate that. Okay. In 2024, the cost of that would be $370.18. The price of the bird stays flat, but it is the tree that went up because housing costs. You live in California, you know. Okay, that's an easy one. On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two... And? I assume you're not going to buy a partridge and a pear tree every day, so we'll just do one by one. But one of these, or two turtle doves, is $750 this year. I know. Most volatile bird on this index. On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three. Man, I am grateful for the enthusiasm in the front row. All right. Three French hens, in case you don't know. Two turtle doves and a partridge. Anyway, $346.50. That is a 5% increase over last year, but they're still the most affordable bird in the song. On the fourth day, my true love gave to me four. Now you can do it. Yes, now you're there. Perfect. All right. $599.96. That's a 0% increase, though. Same price as they were last year and the year before that. And the year before that, and the year before that. Okay, on the fifth day of Christmas, you can sing it, my true love gave to me. $1,245. That's plain bands, nothing fancy. Gold doesn't go out of style, but plain bands do. On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. 6 geese a laying. That is exactly right. $900. $900. That is a 15.4% increase from last year. They are much cheaper than their swan cousins who are coming next. But since 2018, they have gone up $620. On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. Yeah, I gave you that one, all right? Okay, here we go. Ready? $13,125. Yeah, 0% increase from last year. Good news is, no, but... stay the same, but seriously, $13,000. Just go stealing from Weller Park. All right. If they don't smack you with their beak and try and kill you. All right, on the eighth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me... And this one's kind of sad, actually, because this reflects the federal minimum wage, and I'm not making any political statement here, but $58. $58. I know, kind of sad. I don't know how much milk you want, but $58. On the ninth day, my true love gave to me... Yes. Is that the sign that's right in front of you? Probably. Nihilus dancing. Ready? $8,557.37. Now, I suppose you could go out and get your kindergartner's class to come and do it for you, and you can do it with, like, Butterfingers and cookies. but this is a real dance company right there. All right, on the 10th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 10 Lords of Leaping, $15,579.65, most expensive gift on the index. Lords aren't cheap. On the 11th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 11 Pipers Piping, $3,714.96. That is a 15.8% increase from last year, because if you want to hear the piper, you got to pay the piper. On the 12th day, my true love gave to me
12 numbers coming.
I thought Peter would at least go, but anyway, okay. $4,016.85, a 15% increase from last year. A musician's just cost more this year. So if you want to calculate all of this out with the gifts of the 12 days of Christmas, he did each one just one day, that would be $49,263.47. But if you gave them away exactly the way that the song talks about, 12 partridges, 12 pear trees, all of that, $209,272.66. Rising costs hit us everywhere. Gold, fertilizer, trees, lumber, all of that. But giving these gifts to somebody is probably not that great of an idea. And whoever thought that these 12 days of Christmas like were good gifts, they were not a good money manager, right? It's like they need to go to the Dave Ramsey class. Like imagine your face if your kid walked up and they handed you this list and said, hey, this is what I want, or you go to the mall Santa. And they said, here, this is what your kid gave me. This is what they want. You'd be like, what is wrong with my kid? Now, at Element, over the last month, we've been doing this series. We are calling it The Carols, meaning Christmas carols. And I have said maybe we shouldn't have called it that, because when I say The Carols, everybody thinks of a carol that they knew, like Carol Burnett or Carol Danvers, if you're into the like Captain Marvel and all that. The first girl I ever kissed, her name was Carol. She's also the first girl I ever lit a cigarette for, because she was cool and I like fire. But we were both 5 years old, so don't be all weird about it, all right? All right? It was a weird time. Now, I wanted to talk about the Christmas carols that we sing at Christmas and the scriptures that then inspire them. And so what we talked about was joy to the world, coming from Psalm 98, being thankful for all that God has done. It leads us to gratitude and to praise. We Three Kings, and Do You Hear What I Hear, coming from Matthew chapter 2. Hark the Herald Angels Sing, comes from Luke chapter 2, Psalm 19, 2 Corinthians 5. O Come, Emmanuel, coming from Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, and Isaiah 7:14. And so tonight, I want to talk about this goofy song, The 12 Days of Christmas, coming from the whole Bible and church history. It's kind of an all-encompassing song. So the 12 Days of Christmas would actually start on Christmas Day, December 25th. It would go until the Epiphany, which then would start on January 6th. It's looking forward to the showing forth of who Jesus is. And so if you're one of those people who are very slow to take down your Christmas decorations, it's okay. Starting tomorrow, you still got 12 more days to do it, so I'll tell everybody to back off. All right, in a liturgical church calendar, there are seasons. And the early church tried to build a rhythm into its community life by focusing on different things throughout the year. So it would look like this. Epiphany would start on January 6th, the showing forth. It's where we realize that Jesus is God in the flesh. And then you get to this thing that was called Lent. Now, the word Lent comes from an old Latin word for spring, which is when it occurred. Lent is a preparation for Easter that's right around the corner. So then you would have what's called Easter, or Easter time, or the Triduum. And that is the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of Easter. And then what you have is ordinary time. It's just your life, just how you live your life, ordinary time. And then you would step into Advent. Advent would start 4 Sundays before Christmas, and Advent meant the coming or the arrival. This is about the arrival and the coming of Jesus, which then you get Christmastide, 12 days of Christmas, then it rounds back out at Epiphany again. So there is some debate on what I'm going to talk to you tonight about this Christmas carol, the 12 days of Christmas. Some will tell you it's hogwash. Someone sent me an email today where they're reading Reader's Digest. That probably tells you how old they are. And they're not in this service, by the way. And they said that this is what I'm going to tell you is hogwash, but actually it's not. There are some very good Catholic scholars who say what I'm going to tell you is actually true. Historians believe that this 12 Days of Christmas song first evolved as a festive memory game. You have objects and animals, they would grow and grow, and you might miss them, like the game Simon growing up. Doot, 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 doot. Get to number four, and it's like, I can't remember what the first one was again, and then you're out. Like, sometimes they do it between boys and girls. The girls would forget, and they'd have to give the boys a kiss. Sound like a game made up by boys, by the way. But then it changed. It is said that in the 16th century, when Catholicism falls out of favor in England, they use this song as a way to try and teach their kids the catechism. So the true love becomes God himself. The partridge in a pear tree is Jesus. It is illegal to be Catholic in England, beginning with the reign of Elizabeth I, all the way until when Victoria was queen. Now, the lyrics seem strange, because they are, but it's really taking this game and these numbers and trying to remind us of certain things. And before you think I'm making this up, I'm not going to tell you that Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer is about Jesus running over your sins, or that White Christmas is about Jesus washing your sins away. What I'm telling you is that there are scholars in the Catholic Church who see the 12 Days of Christmas as the surviving example of a time when they use codes to disguise certain teachings. And we should all be willing to look at truth wherever it is found, whether you are Catholic or not. So what we're going to do this time is we're going to start from the top. We're going to start from 12, and then we're going to work our way down to 1. You have signs in front of you and some of your rows, and that will give you what the one you're supposed to sing. So I'm going to look at you, and then I'm going to say, on the 12th, and you're going to sing that line. This was Mark's idea. If it goes bad, it's his fault. But apparently I misunderstood him, so it's my fault, but I still think it's his fault. Anyway. If you get one wrong, you don't get to kiss me. That's my wife's job. I have space issues. All right. So here we go. We're going to start here. On the 12th day. So here we go. You're going to start this. On the 12th day of. There you go. 12 drummers drumming. All right. This is the final gift in the index here, and it's tied directly to what we would call the Apostles' Creed. So they had these songs, they had these numbers, and they wanted these kids to learn and remember certain things. And so you had this Apostles' Creed. There are 12 things in the Apostles' Creed, and they go like this. Number one, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Secondly, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Three, I believe he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Hey, that's Christmas. Number four, he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. Number five, he descended into hell, and that's not meant to be weird. That just means the grave, okay? On the third day, he rose again. Six, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Seven, he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Eight, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Nine, the Holy Catholic Church. And that word Catholic, it just means universal. It's written before the Catholic Church was the Catholic Church. It just means that Jesus is the head of the church. 10, the communion of saints. 11, the forgiveness of sins. 12, the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Whew. Imagine after like, no, let's just go with the 12 drummers drumming. No, these are the things they wanted kids to remember. All right, so the next one, if you have this, on the 11th day of. Ah, 11 virus piping. Now, this one's a little bit of a trick question, because what they're trying to refer to here is the 11 disciples who were faithful. Like, Jesus had 12 disciples, but only 11 of them were faithful. So this would be Simon, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, not Simon Peter, Simon the Zealot, and then Judas, son of James, not Judas Iscariot. We got that rid of that guy, so only 11. All right. On the 10th day. On the 10th day. All right, in the back. Way to go. Now, this one's pretty easy, right? On the 10th day, if you think about it, what do we have in the Old Testament? The 10 commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Don't make any graven images of God. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And what that means is, if you say you're a follower of God, you live like it. That's simply what that means. Four, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Five, honor your father and mother. Six, don't kill. Seven, don't commit adultery. Eight, don't steal. Nine, don't lie. 10, don't covet what everybody else has. And Jesus says, you can sum all this up by love God, love others. It's kind of cool. On the 9th day of Christmas. My true love gave to me. in the middle. I guess that's there. That's great. All right. Now, this one is going to be a little bit harder, but a couple of years ago at Element, we went through this book of Galatians, and there are these things called the fruit of the Spirit, and there are 9 of them. And so they wanted these kids, you know, what is that? What does this look like? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Man, if that's your life, that's a good dance. You got a good dance going on. All right. On the 8th day of Christmas. Yeah, those poor milkmaids, I'm telling you. Now, this is, again, why it's called a catechism. This one's going to take a little bit of work, and it refers to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus comes to save the lowest of the low. And if you were a milkmaid in England during this time, you had the worst job ever. It was thankless. You carried these heavy milk-laden pails with strength and stamina, and nobody really said thank you. And it's meant to remind us that Jesus cared as much about the servants as he did of those in high places. It refers to all the people that Jesus came to save. And so this refers to what we call the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. 8. Think of how good that would be if kids today remembered that. And they could actually repeat that back to you. All these things that God blesses that turn society on its head. All right, on the 7th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. 7 swans are swimming. All right, now this refers to gifts that are listed in the New Testament that God's Spirit gives to his followers. You don't get all 7, you get a couple of them, but these are spiritual gifts. Prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, and compassion. It said swans are some of the most beautiful and graceful creatures on earth, so it's a perfect example of what these spiritual gifts would be. Next one. On the 6th day of
Christmas, my true love gave to me 6
I don't know, I shouldn't clap at you every time you do that, but it's great. Okay. Now, in the book of Genesis, what was created in 6 days? Creation. Creation, right? Yeah, so each egg becomes a day in creation, a time when the world was hatched or formed by God. So you get day 1, God creates the heavens and the earth. Day 2, God creates the sky and the seas. Day 3, God creates the land and plants. Day 4, God creates sun, moon, and stars. Day 5, God creates fish and birds. Day 6, God creates land, animals, and man. On the 5th day, you're all going to know this one, right? On the 5th day of
Christmas, my true love gave to me.
Now, these 5 golden rings, they would represent the first 5 books of the Old Testament. It's called the Pentateuch, which is 5, the Pentateuch, or the Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Think of all these things that they wanted these kids to know. It's not just these golden rings. This is the most valuable thing that we have, the Word of God. It's a long song. All right, on the 4th day of Christmas. Now, this one's super easy. How many gospel accounts are there in the Bible?
4.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Oh, that one's kind of easy. All right, on the 3rd day. On the 3rd day of
Christmas, my true love gave to me.
3 finished hands. It's like, hands, hands, yeah, 3 finished hands. All right, this is 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of which is love. All right, on the 2nd day of boy, you guys had a lot of energy in that one. That's nice. All right. These would represent the Old and the New Testament. They go together to represent the Judeo-Christian faith, all of God's plan for the world. The doves are like that roadmap that point to what is available, truth for every single person. And the very last one on the first day, the first day of oh, you guys are great. As I said, the partridge represents Jesus, the Son of God, whose birthday we will celebrate on Christmas. Not that he actually was born on Christmas. They say that Christ is represented as this mother partridge, and said that's the only bird that would die to protect its young. And so my true love gave to me, God gave to us, each of these that culminate in Jesus. And that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Now, in ancient times, most societies, they were rural. A few people worked in the dead of winter, And so you would spend these long, dark nights and days in your homes looking forward to spring. And so you'd have all these days that you could devote to prayer and reflection. You could attend church services. But with the coming of the industrial age, people got really, really busy. You had year-round work schedules. And a lot of these things traditionally associated with the 12 days of Christmas became impossible for people to continue doing. And so you take this thing from history and you turn it into this catechism for kids. It'd be a way to begin to teach and remember this rich history that we have in the scriptures. Now, as time goes on, fewer and fewer churches and families participated in their tradition of those 12 days, and it's all but lost. But you have this dumb game that starts to morph into this poem that kind of becomes this catechism and then later becomes this Christmas carol, the 12 days of Christmas. It lives on. And think about it, even with the people who say, that's not really where it came from. That's not what the... Look, I'm telling you that, there, as I said, there's a lot of scholars who believe this is what actually took place. And think about that. If you took those 12 days as I described them, what a beautiful and complete picture of our faith cultivates in the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I mean, the 12 days of Christmas may no longer be this widely recognized tradition, but the days are this important bridge that would connect believers of the past with this whole story of God's plan for the world. And we live in a very complicated world today. And I think that a trip back to the not-so-distant past, when Christians would celebrate these 12 days, could enhance the meaning of Christmas for everyone. And so what we did is, when you came in tonight, if you're an adult, we gave you a pack of jelly beans. Those are pear jelly beans, by the way. And I had one, and they taste like a pear. Super sweet pear, but they taste like a pear. Because one of the things that you see when you talk about God and His Word, we want people to taste and see that the Lord is good. And really what's given on each of these days of the 12 days of Christmas is not that important. There's different versions that have different things, like so many bears abating or so many ships a-sailing. It's the number behind each thing that relates to something else that we want to remember. Not even all the theology in the song is right. Like day 11 says, the 11 disciples that remained faithful. That's a joke, because we are told in the scriptures that every single one of them deserted Jesus. Right before Jesus is crucified, Peter goes to Jesus and he goes, you know what? Even though every one of these loser disciples, you know, abandon you, I will never do that. And Jesus says, Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. What? And then all of a sudden it happens. See, Jesus dies essentially alone. At his birth, he's essentially alone. It's when God shows up, he's the one that announces this birth. See, humans didn't have fanfare. Humans didn't have applause. They had no room for him in the inn. And I'm not trying to bring this whole thing to a downer, but I think many times as we celebrate Christmas today, we have no room for him either. And that's why songs like this are good for us. We are so busy going about our lives and the season of Christmas that we forget about him too. And this is why tomorrow morning, I want you to eat one of those jelly beans. There's more than one in the bag. And if things get really hectic tomorrow and you're like, I just don't, family died, my turkey burned or whatever, pop a jelly bean and be like, they're not like magic beans. Don't bury in the backyard. You're not going to get a beanstalk or anything like that and get a magic golden goose or something like that. But it may be a good remembrance of the grace and the goodness of God, who has come to rescue and save us in the person of Jesus Christ. It is a great reminder to taste and see that the Lord is good, because the beauty of Christmas is that God has never once forgotten us. Last year I did this series where I kept showing you the point of all these Old Testament stories was that people kept forgetting God, but then showed that God never once forgot about us. And the same is still true today. We spend so much time and energy and money trying to get or find our meaning and purpose somewhere so we don't feel empty and alone. But here's the deal. We are welcomed into God's family. And it is not about the gifts that we bring, not that we have anything that God needs. It doesn't cost you $220,000. God gives us salvation and adoption as a gift. It is free. It is found in Christ. God has given himself to us in Jesus. And from that flows all the gifts that we talked about in the 12 days. Faith, hope, love, all of creation, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, grace for the lost and weary. And we can all partake in that tonight by trusting in Jesus, who came as a baby, grew into a man, died for our sin, rose from the grave to bring us home. And I hope this gives you a deeper understanding of what these songs can be and what Christmas is. And with that, Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your mercy and your grace to us. The hope of the reconciliation that we have, that you have told us that you are Emmanuel, God with us. And so I ask that as we think through these songs, as we begin to maybe tomorrow morning when things get hectic, that we would just take one of those jelly beans and remember that you are good, that you came, and that we have a hope and an eternity that is found in you. So teach us to trust you in that, to walk with you. Not just tonight, not just tomorrow, but every day of our lives, reflecting back on the goodness of who you are and the truths that you have given to us. Tonight, I ask that you would open our hearts and enliven us to sing a few more songs, to worship you, and to walk out of this place with a joy that comes from knowing you. And we ask this in your son's good name. Amen.